This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the best of the Patriots. Oh, yeah! A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
On a Mail Monday, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with five New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. And game day yesterday on the road, creamy and delicious, Gerard
Mayo. Creamy and delicious. Shout out to Hellman's.
Yeah.
It was good to go out there and get the win. And I thought the guys really went out there and played well. You know, as a coach, sometimes it's all about just giving those guys the opportunity. And they went out there and seized that opportunity and controlled the game.
Compliment earlier this morning on this show from Boomer Esiason, who said, seemed like you guys put together the perfect game plan for this one. So.
Yeah, so, you know, shout out to the coordinators. You know, the coordinators, you know, they work hard. And I would say the position coaches, the assistant coaches, they all put a lot of hours in it. It doesn't always culminate to a win, but as I've always said, we try to get better each and every week. And that's not only for the players, but also the coaches.
Gerard, one of the things that really stood out yesterday, obviously, the ability to get to the quarterback and get sacks. But the ability to not have any off-script plays, where Caleb Williams has done a good job of that this season, but making sure there were none of those that ultimately led to big plays.
Yeah, you know, those off-script plays are always difficult to handle. And to have an athletic quarterback like Caleb, who I said this after the game, I think he's going to be a very special player in this league. But to be able to contain him and keep him in the pocket was definitely a challenge. And, you know, that was one of the targets this week, and the guys hit it.
Gerard, it did seem like Drake and Booty have become this kind of tandem. That's their connection's really growing. So for you, have you seen that during practice, or how has that grown, and where do you see that going?
I would say with all the receivers, you know, that connection continues to grow. You have to remember, it's only been, I mean, how many weeks has Drake really started? So you'll continue to see that progress amongst all those guys. But Booty's done a good job for us, and he's definitely been one of those guys that has grown from, you know, last year to this year, and it's exciting to see.
Drake has obviously taken a more of a vocal leadership role. We heard about that after the game, about addressing the team. It seems to me from afar that as Drake has assumed the leadership role in the offense, there's been less squawking by those on it.
He's addressed the team?
That's what they said on the broadcast yesterday.
They said this week he was frustrated, or, you know, or didn't think things were going the way it should have gone practice wise, and asked if he could talk to the offense. Is that not accurate reporting?
No, he said the team. I'm just trying to figure out.
Yeah. Oh, to the offense. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, the offense itself.
Yeah.
Is there a correlation between Drake's leadership role and guys on the offense taking ownership of their specific roles without talking about others?
Yeah, they all have to be accountable, and it's, you know, that's part of his evolution, and he's doing a good job.
Gerard, one of the things that we saw obviously we saw some pressures from your second level, your linebackers, your cornerback, safeties, that type of thing. Was that something that you guys were going in with a game plan to kind of confuse Caleb Williams, to, you know, have him see a lot of guys, and then at times you were bringing those guys? Is that something that was part of your game plan heading into it?
100%. You know, and again, he's a very athletic guy, so our second and third level players are faster guys. In saying that, I would say our first level guys did a good job really collapsing the pocket.
Speaking of Drake, you look at the interception, just clearly didn't see Edwards there.
Did you use that napkin right there? It's hot in here. You know, when it's wintertime.
Can you give him a napkin?
Well, I use this one. I don't know if you want to play.
Stace just said I sweat so easy.
They're bringing some in.
Don't you work out right before?
I try to. Until my body just stays hot. What's the question?
Interception. What did you see? Looking back, film, he didn't see line.
It was a bad play. It was a poor play. You got to throw that ball away and keep us going.
Back to Curtis's question with the squawking, and obviously there was a lot of guys that were talking in front of the media and saying certain things about what was going on.
Oh, good.
Hold on a second.
You got some Bobby Brown makeup.
Let me just get that.
I mean, he's had Gronk rub his shoulders before. So.
That's nothing like he used to do to Bill. Don't worry.
Wiggy would never. But it does seem like it's quieted down. Guys aren't really talking to media or saying, you know, disagreements that are happening behind closed doors. Is that something that's come from you down, or is it just because you guys have gotten a few wins that guys have been happier? Or
I wouldn't say there were disagreements. I would say, like, all these guys are competitors and want to win games, and those are all symptoms of losing when you start to hear griping. Griping.
Both
works.
Yeah, both. Yeah. You said this week you needed to get the run game going, and it seemed like you did.
Oh, absolutely. We got the run game going, and I would say defensively we were able to control the line of scrimmage and stop them from really running the ball. I think with the average 4 yards, maybe under 4 yards a carry, I thought it was good. We handled the down guys, and I was impressed by that.
I've done a lot of critique of the offense the first half of the season. I thought yesterday first and second down were huge. You had 10 of your 14 third downs were less than 5 yards or 5 yards or less. What about the game plan from Van Pelt and how you guys were able to be more successful?
Yeah, it was all about first down. And I challenged those guys to, look, let's really focus on first down, because when you look at the game prior, it was a lot of second and 12, second and 11, second and 14, 15, 16, like all the way up to second and 20. And if we're able to stay ahead of the sticks, then that gives us a better opportunity to get in those third and three situations where, with our backs, they still have to be able to take care of the run game.
We were talking about Ramondre Stevenson earlier this morning, too. He looked awesome yesterday, and we were wondering, is it like he's gotten healthier, or is it just things have been clicking for him?
Just as in the past, when he hasn't gotten going, I would say it starts up front with the offensive line. I'm going to say the exact same thing here, where he plays well and it starts up front with the offensive line.
One of the things that you talked about are, like, you know, certain guys, you know, whether it's griping. The thing that I kind of take away, obviously I'm not in that locker room, but I look at this, especially, you know, in the wide receiver room or just in the passing game, every guy has a legitimate opportunity because there's no clear-cut number one. So if you perform and practice in games and you produce – I feel like you're going to get opportunities. Is that what the message to these guys is?
100%. It's always been about competition. Mm-hmm. I said that all the way back in training camp. It's about competition and who has that better week of practice and who has that better week in the walkthroughs and the meeting rooms, and that's what it is.
Looked like you wanted a roughing the passer call at the end of the third.
I did. But when you look at it, I mean, it probably was the better call to pick it up. No, but seriously, like when you're in the game, you know, I mean, that's part of it. That's part of, you know, you always ask me, what are you learning as a head coach? Well, sometimes yelling at the referee works, and most of the time they're right.
What have you learned? I mean, we're halfway into the season. Like, if you looked at things that you didn't expect that you were gonna, that you would have learned by this point.
Every week is its own unique week. You know, I haven't had time, you know, because we haven't had a bye week yet, and we still won't have a bye week anytime soon. I haven't had the time to take a breather and really reflect fully on what has happened up to this point in the season. But every week is its own week.
Is it hard? You know, you always hear about time management and how many other things go into this job besides coaching. Has that been tough to adapt to? I mean, travel, what the guys are doing, what this
the travel part of it, this isn't basketball. Like, I just saw, I think Golden State's on the road for like 12 days. Like, we travel one day a week, if that. And, you know, a lot of these are home games, so the travel part's not it. I would say as far as, like, just time management, it's all about football for me, which is exciting. And I love to do it, and I don't really look at things in time. I look at it as energy. Like, where do I want to put my energy? It's not about time. I'm going to be here until 1 in the morning, 12 o'clock at night anyway. So it's where do I focus my energy?
Yeah.
We've been talking earlier about possible games overseas. There's a game in Ireland. I guess Roger Goodell mentioned yesterday next year Patriots would be rumored about possibly playing there. Do you think there's ever a chance that the NFL would have a team based in Europe? Or do you think that that could never get done?
I don't want to say never. The game is growing exponentially. The people watching the game, men, women, different countries, it's a very exciting game, and I don't want to say never.
Time now for the Hellman's Mayo question of the week. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. At one point, I think you guaranteed over 4 wins for this football team on this show. I know you're a goal setter. Yeah. Did you go into this season for yourself setting a goal when it came to wins?
No, for me it was to, as the season continued to progress, that we are that team that no one wants to play at the end of the season. And it was about getting better, and I knew there would be bumps along the road, and I think everyone knew that, at least inside the building. You guys probably didn't. Last time I was in here, Wiggy told me the rosters that he thought our roster was better than, and he named all, you know, Kansas City and Tennessee. And
I said Washington. And I said Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah, he did say Chicago.
That, but that was going into the season, and again, like,
and you beat Chicago.
Yeah, but dominate. Yeah, you still. Yeah, but if you were to go back, and this is it's funny to me at this point because I've also worked in the media where you guys have to guess on all these things. If you went back, how many more hours are you guys on the show? You should go back, look at Chicago's roster at the beginning and how you felt about that roster and our roster, and just do a side by side.
And I know you're not going to say
and
it.
Just like I told you, Cap, earlier. But again, I would say we got a room full of guys, you know, guys that want to get better, guys that are hungry, and I appreciate that.
I know you're not going to say it, but
I still don't say it.
It's my pleasure. It took you 4 fewer weeks to get to 3 wins than it did your predecessor last year. So, well done. 3-7. Bill was 2-8. You're dominating.
Curtis is obsessed.
I know.
You can tell.
Hey, somebody's got to support the guy. I mean, everybody else here craps on Mayo all the time.
It's fine. It's fine, though. Look, it's part of the job. Like, you can crap on me, or we could be undefeated. You can still crap on me. I mean, that's part of the business.
You're ahead of the curve with the greatest coach of all time. It's a good start.
How often do you talk to Thunder?
Young Thunder, that's Kraft.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Kraft.
Is every week you talk to him?
Yeah, every day.
He's every day?
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah, every day. And he allowed, I will say this, and I've said this before, I'm appreciative of the opportunity to let me deal with the football stuff. But, you know, look, he's managed people, he's led people, he continues to lead people. And anytime I have a question about that, about situations, it's not always unique to sports. It's about relationships. He's a great resource.
Does it feel like when you guys look ahead to the rest of the season, I mean, we have to because it's media, but for you, do you feel like you guys could be a playoff team?
Look,
7 games left?
For us, it's about week after week after week getting the 1-0. And I think if we do that, get the 1-0 every week, then we'll be able to look back and wherever we are, we are.
How do you make sure, because I think it was Keon White who said it after the game, there were some younger, you know, got a lot of young guys on this team. How do you make sure that they, the younger players especially, focus in, like you said, it's week to week, but it's play to play, it's practice to practice. How do you make sure that they understand that and buy into that, you know, because it's completely different than what they're used to?
Yeah, I lean heavily on the captains. And I would also say I lean heavily on guys that have played a lot. You know, my message is always one thing to the team, but it's the captains and the leadership group on the team to really disseminate that message to the young guys and continue to be that day after day, play after play voice for them. It's one thing to hear something from your parents. Your parents tell you not to do something. Then it's different when your brother or your sister tells you you shouldn't do it. But I do think, you know, just those multiple touch points keep them in line.
Are you looked at – it's interesting because you bring that up, and we have this conversation all the time. Even though you're a former player – do they really, like, look at that element of it, or is it like where, all right, our coach played, but he's – the coach? You know what I'm saying? Is it that weird balance that you're trying to always kind of balance on? Do you feel like they sometimes see you as the former player, or do they always see you as, like, the coach, you know, where it's the always the parent, not the friend?
You know, that's a great question. It's probably – I know you guys have players on this station, so that's a better question for them. What I would say as a player for me, no matter what level, I've always held the head coach and even the coordinators – It was always like a reverence there. You know what I mean? It was always like, especially, you know, there was a point in time where, you know, single parent home, you know, before my stepdad and all that stuff, my grandparents would do the best job, my grandfather would do his best job, but where the head coach almost was like a father figure, especially younger. And for all the young people listening to this, if you have a good coach, there's nothing better than that. It's not about, you know, when I see youth football and people drawing up double reverse crack plays and like all that stuff, it's like, that's not what it's about at that level. And I say this sport definitely teaches you, you know, how to deal with adversity. It teaches you how to be able to push through. It teaches you how to ignore all the stuff going on around you. And, you know, obviously at this level right here, there's a bunch of noise. And I would say the guys in our locker room, they are younger guys, and they're also still developing as men. And I think it's very easy for us to really forget about them as people. And my message to them has always been, I care about you more as a person, and all our staff, I care about the men and women in there more as people than I do football players or chief of staff, whatever it is. Yeah.
Speaking of parents, I'm guessing your mom didn't have much to criticize this week.
my mom, it's weird. I hope, you know, once again, I'll use this platform to talk to my mom. Now we lose a game, she doesn't even call me anymore. It's like, madre.
So you're hoping for a phone call at least.
I am hoping for a phone call. I will say that she sends texts all the time. It's, you know, philosophical things or development things. And last week she talked about, she sent me a text on having a beginner's mind, because the expert mind sometimes isn't as malleable, isn't as open to criticism or as open to growing and changing. And so having that beginner's mindset, that's for the people. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good nugget right there.
Great note to end on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gerard.
All right. Thanks,
all right.
Hellman's Mayo.
All right.
Gerard. That's
Range our
Rover
sponsor. Norwood. Yeah. And we got, yes. Did you get the new Land Rover?
Hey, don't forget about Northeast Men's Health.
But did you get the new vehicle yet? Did they deliver?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
thanks for making that call.
I want to make sure you got that. All right. Conversation with the coach brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. And we will be back on a Patriots Monday from Gillette Stadium.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're joined right now on a Patriots Monday by Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Henry, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good, man.
I think we're all doing good after that win yesterday. Two wins in 3 weeks, overtime loss sandwiched in between. What's been the biggest difference in the team over that stretch over these last few weeks?
Yeah, I think we're just, you know, we're playing better football, playing complementary football, you know, keeping the pressure on the other team in a way, and just, you know, finding ways to win. Obviously, last week, wish we could have found, you know, some kind of way to win that one, but, you know, just to bounce back, especially on the road in a hostile environment, a good football team, to kind of come out and play the way we did is big time.
You know, there was a lot made on the broadcast, and then Drake May even talked about it after the game when he was asked. But he addressed the team. He said the offense wasn't performing great at practice, and then he sort of stepped in and talked to the team. What can you tell us about that moment from last week?
Yeah, I mean, he's just continuing to come along. He's doing a great job in all aspects, man. He's fun to play with, fun to compete with, and it's fun to continue to kind of grow with him and how he sees things, how we see things. Kind of mesh those things together.
How would you describe him as a leader, and do you see him as a leader on this team?
Yeah, I mean, he's got that. He's definitely got a lot of leadership qualities, and he's doing a good job of not, you know, doing too much either, just because he still is young, and but he's doing just enough. He's letting his play, I think, do most of the talking, and then, you know, if he has to say something or needs something, it's usually communicated, but he's doing a great job.
You know, it felt in many ways kind of like the first couple weeks of the season where you guys really were able to establish the run, kind of gotten away from that over the last few weeks, but how did you guys feel as far as moving the ball? I know Ramondre is up to 20 carries, and the team as a squad ran it really well.
Yeah, it was. It's always good to get those backs rolling. You know, Ramondre is a terrific back and has, you know, so much on his skill set, man. Just like vision, power, quicks, everything that you need in a back. And so to get him rolling a little bit was positive and exciting to kind of see him kind of be able to break some open, continue to wear on them a little bit, and also just keep our defense off the field a little bit on some of those drives, even though maybe some of the drives we didn't, you know, finish like we wanted to, but still to kind of, you know, control the football, take a little air out of it, keep our defense off the field. It's always big.
Have you ever at a press conference asked the media to clap for your defense? Because as much as I love Drake May's day, that might be the one thing I would say he might want to do over.
I didn't see that. So
he led his press conference with put down your phones, put down your notepads, and let's clap for the defense.
Give it up for the defense.
And like one guy was like, yeah, all right. Maybe not the place. Yeah.
No, that's the place. What are we talking about? That's great. 100%. Look at our defense. When they play like that, you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
How about for the tight end room? Yeah, no shout outs for the tight end room.
That's too bad.
Yeah, shoot. Hoop showing up big time yesterday, man. Super cool. Just kind of see a bunch of different guys kind of get going in the passing games. What we need, man. We need to have, you know, all different guys kind of involved. And it was really cool to see Hoop get going, make some big plays for us yesterday.
What sort of growth have you seen this year out of Jerod Mayo as a head coach?
Oh, a ton. I mean, he's a great head coach, man, and he's continuing to grow. I mean, each game he puts behind him, I think he's learning in so many different ways, just on how to motivate, how to, you know, do in-game situations, everything. And I love playing for him and looking forward to continuing to build it.
Now, you've also played for four different offensive coordinators in the 4 years that you've been here. What kind of comfort level do you see now in Alex Van Pelt as we're halfway through the season?
Yeah, I love AVP, man. He brings a lot to our room. I love his scheme. I love the offense. You know, he's got a great scheme, and it's always exciting every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday coming in and kind of seeing the game plan, how we're going to execute it to come out with a, you know, to be successful on the field and, you know, come out with a win. So I've really enjoyed being in this scheme.
Two-part question here on Kendrick Bourne. He was a healthy scratch yesterday. I mean, number one, you're in that same offense. You know, you're working in conjunction with that skill group. Does that impact you in any way, just the changes week to week in who's up and who's down personnel-wise?
No, I just try to lock in. What we got, a lot of good football players, and we're continuing to build, continuing to get better. And so, no.
He was a healthy scratch yesterday. He's got positive energy, though. You see it on the field. We know it from talking to him as well. You know it as a teammate. What does it say to be a healthy scratch but still involved as he was yesterday?
I think KB is an ultimate teammate. He's an ultimate competitor, and he's what you want any guy in the locker room, man. He really is. He brings so much energy. He's a joy to play with, a joy to be a teammate with, and just, man, he's a brother for life for sure. Spent a lot of time, obviously, these last few years with him, and it's a joy to be around a guy like that, and a guy that we need in this locker room.
And then last thing for me, Hunter, how good was it to see Jalen Polk get in the end zone? It has not been a great season for him, but he gets in the end zone. And is that something that can sort of build momentum for him going forward?
100%, yeah. It was big for him. It was a big play, great design, great scheme. And he was able to execute his job at a high level. So always good to see our guys get in the end zone like that, and especially Paul.
I don't know how often this pops up during the year, but your next opponent, the Rams, are on Monday Night Football tonight. Is that a game you're going to make a point to sit down and watch?
Yeah, I'll watch a little bit for sure.
Is that what can you learn or glean from a TV copy versus when you guys get into the tape? Is there anything, or is it more like getting familiar with scheme, personnel, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's probably more personnel and scheme for me. Sometimes TV, it's hard to see the true film that you got to study and watch. You know, TV's like kind of zoomed in a little bit more, so it's a little hard sometimes to see the back end on things and, you know, rotation on different things. So usually you wait for film on that kind of stuff, but yeah, just mainly personnel, scheme, different things like that.
Okay, he's Patriots tight end Hunter Henry here on a Patriots Victory Monday on WEEI. Hunter, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Hunter Henry joining us here, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. He liked the clapping up.
He liked that. Yeah. Well, I think like you, he likes the message. I just don't think it's really the place for it, is all I would say.
Six Patriots beat writers on the road. And the
handful that travel to Chicago.
The bowels of some Chicago weight room or wherever they do this.
We got to try to make our flight. Can we just get through this? We're not going to give a round of applause for the defense right now.
Look.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yes, and you heard Drake May going on and on about the defense yesterday and in that interview just now, and a big piece of that defense was Jonathan Jones, who joins us right now, presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at Drains by James. They give a poop about your pipes. Jonathan Jones, do we have you?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
There he is. Jonathan, I thought that game yesterday reminded me a lot of a big game that you had 2 years ago against the Colts. You had a pick six in that Sam Ellinger game. You remember that one? It was a similar-looking game. I think the score was pretty close, too. You guys sacked the quarterback a million times. How did it feel to sort of go out there, know that you and the front were kind of in sync in terms of coverage sacks, in terms of them getting to the QB, you guys making plays out there? It seemed like for the first time all year, everything really clicked for all four quarters.
It did. I think for the most part, we kind of hit the keys that we wanted to hit. You know, they did a good job of getting pressure. But not only that, just containing it. You know, there weren't too many times, maybe twice, that he even got outside the tackle box to even get outside of those guys. And so when you can do that up front, you know, the back end, it makes your job a lot easier.
Early in the game, you guys were put in some tough spots. There was a punt return. There was the turnover. And you guys kind of bowed up and didn't allow any points. How big is that when you get those opportunities early to kind of set a tone and not just do your jobs, but maybe go above and beyond what your normal job is?
Yeah, I mean, we always pride ourselves, you know, on defensive execute no matter where we get the ball. And that helps the offense out. You know, if we give up a big return or the turnover and just not giving up points, you know, not putting them in a situation where when they get the ball back, they feel like, you know, they have to go out and score a touchdown. So that's a part of our job as defense is just getting the ball back and eliminating points and not allowing their team to get up big on us.
You had one big tackle, and I believe it was the first quarter, maybe the beginning of the second, that pretty much saved a touchdown. Open field tackling, things like that. You guys have, at times this year, struggled with that and struggled with sort of finishing your hits. Is that something you think you've improved on as a unit over the course of these 10 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, Mayo, he caught out the corners in the secondary, you know, after last week's game versus Tennessee. The defense at whole was just tackling. Something I spoke on last week of getting back to the fundamentals, and tackling has been a big part of that. You know, on defense, they can catch, you know, catch the ball or make a run, but at the end of the day, if you're able to secure a tackle, you don't give up points. And so that was something we focused on last week and something to be big as we continue out the season.
So you say he called you guys out in the back end. I think we could say he called the team out with the soft comments in London. Is this team showing that they respond when he kind of pushes their buttons or challenges you guys?
I would assume so. I mean, just based off how the locker room has handled it, just how guys respond when there's adversity. You know, we've gone through adversity this year, and guys have handled it well. No one's come in, you know, with a sour face and a sour attitude, you know, after, you know, a loss. So I'd definitely say guys have handled it the right way.
I know this is a weird question, seeing as where the season is right now and everything, but did yesterday feel like a get-right game to you guys?
I don't know about that. It just felt like a win we needed. And like I spoke to the team after, the next phase of this is stacking wins. You know, every win we've gotten, the two we've gotten before, we lose the next week. And so in this league, if you can stack wins, get some back-to-back wins, and build off of it, I think then we can say we're heading in the right direction.
I'm glad you brought up the post-game, because you've told us you're not really a big talker. That's not really your style. And you've taken over the mantle of the post-game, aw yeah, thing that Teddy Bruschi and others historically have done. You know it's being videotaped. You know it's going to be on social media within hours. Do you enjoy that? Do you get nervous? Do you prep a few notes? Do you ask Slater for a little advice? How's that go about?
No. I just speak from the heart. You know, I speak from the heart. And just what the guys need to hear. You know, like you said, speaking of guys who have been around here for a long time, those guys got the opportunity to sit back and watch what it meant to win, saw what it looked like to be a part of football in this league that was winning football. And I've had the opportunity as a young player in this league to experience that. And I feel it's my opportunity and my chance to tell those guys what it looks like and just to be a part of that and do my part.
Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet, a lot of weapons on that Chicago offense. What was the general strategy about limiting those guys in the secondary, and what was sort of the strategy to try and cover them all?
We felt confident, you know, to being able to play those guys in man-to-man coverage to allow us to get some pressure up front. We felt confident. Up to the plate, you know, there weren't a lot of explosive plays or any, you know, explosive plays for the receivers. So when you do that in this league and limit players like that, it's easy to get wins.
So I think a lot of us had pigeonholed Brendan Schooler as he's a special teamer, he's the next Matthew Slater, whatever. And then apparently there's this Longhorn package where he's out there, he's spying the number one pick quarterback, he's getting a sack. Were you dubious when you saw this game plan or when they started using Schooler in that role? What'd you think?
No, I tipped my hat to him. I said, hey, you have some ability, you know, and practices like this allow guys to show, you know, that they can contribute on defense. And, you know, hopefully he takes this and grows from it. You know, a lot of guys in the league end up getting, you know, pigeonholed into that, you know, just special teams guy. But if you can run around and tackle, after that you learn a couple of defensive formations. I don't know why you can't play defense in this league. But so he's, you know, taken that role well. He executed it in just the way we wanted him to, and so hopefully he can continue to build off of it.
Every week I know we ask you about Christian Gonzalez, but this week I want to ask you about your other compatriot there, Marcus Jones, who I thought had a great game yesterday along with all the rest of you guys. How is his progression this year after missing all last year with an injury, getting back into the secondary, also returning kicks? How have you seen his progression on defense evolve over the season?
Oh, man, he's consistent. You know, he comes in, he's just smart and tough. He's a smart football player. He always knows what to do and just comes out and competes. And he's a guy that I enjoy playing with. I have enjoyed playing with him, and he's just going to do nothing but continue to get better.
There's some teams where, I don't know, I feel like there's 11, 12, 13 guys. That's the core of the defense, the starters. Then there's backups. This team, especially yesterday, we saw a ton of bodies at all three levels. Farms and Roy up front. We mentioned Schooler, Del Pettis. There's guys coming from everywhere. Is that a unique situation where it feels like there's got to be 20 different guys that are involved in the game plan? And what's the camaraderie like because of that?
Oh, man, everybody buys in. I was once taught in this league, the more you can do. I don't know if you ever heard that saying.
Yep.
But the more you can do, every guy's buying in, pitching in, do what they can to help, you know. We don't have, you know, quote-unquote superstars at positions, and guys are doing their jobs and coming in, getting better. And this week it'll be the same thing. It's getting back to the drawing board on Wednesday and getting towards another victory.
I just realized we haven't talked to you since the trade deadline. I know your name was floating around there. Other guys' names are floating around. Ultimately, no one gets traded. Was that a tense trade deadline in your guys' locker room?
Not so much. I can only speak for myself. Not for myself. I take this, you know, this business in stride. You know, every day is a privilege to be here and to go to work, and I always take it that way. And I have them, you know, every day that I've been here. And so, you know, it's a tough position for a lot of guys. You know, I can understand, you know, not knowing your future, not knowing where you'll be. But just try to take it in stride and just let, you know, whatever happens and roll with the punches.
Turning the page to next week, you have the Rams, which is, you know, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. There's some pretty good weapons on that side of the ball. Sean McVay. What kind of challenge do they present, but also a unique opportunity? Will you watch Monday Night Football tonight and sort of get a quick jump start on the scouting process?
Yeah, it'll be key in watching it. But they've, you know, they have a veteran quarterback, good receivers, good core. You know, they love to run the ball. It's going to be a good test for us. Our goal is to come out and try to get a victory at home. And so we have to get to the drawing board this week and get to work.
All right, that's Jonathan Jones of the secondary here with the Patriots, who beat the Bears 19-3 and will be taking on the Rams this Sunday at Gillette. Jonathan, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
I think we lost them.
See ya.
That's two shaky phones in a row. Do you notice
that?
Yeah,
it's not great.
Two shaky phones in a row. We're on to you, Stacey. We know
so
what's going on.
Elon
here.
Musk
giving him the potato phones
can land a massive rocket backwards with these two big hands that grab it out of the air.
Right, yeah.
He's got a line of satellites that go across the world so you can get high speed internet anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't get great phones to talk to a couple Patriots.
It's weird how that works. Anyway, good
some
stuff
beach
there. From Jones and, of course, from Drake May. A lot to digest. We'll get to that at 617-779-7937 if you want to talk about anything you just heard there. And when we return, I think the coaching staff, who we did not get to talk to, we talked to the players and we got their take on everything. The coaching staff deserves a lot of credit here, especially considering the bleep show that they were up against with the Chicago Bears. It could always be worse, folks. Always remember that. The grass is sometimes greener on your side. We'll get to that next.
Gerard Mayo yesterday, that's what Curtis was alluding to on this show on a Mayo Monday, but it is a Thai Tuesday, and Thai Law is brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and by 110 Grill, gluten-free dining done right at the 110 Grill. And Ty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing, man?
Great. I was wondering if Bill Belichick ever took you to the Ground Round, the restaurant chain.
No. They still got a Ground Round around here?
It's coming back. It's making a comeback. And so apparently he took Rodney Harrison there on his free agent visit. So I was wondering if it was Bill's go-to when it came to restaurants. But if he didn't take you there.
No, I did that. No, I might have. It took me to Ground Round on a free agent visit. I might have had to think twice whether I'm coming here. Damn, at least go out there and get a nice meal. Damn, that's letting me know right now what we're negotiating with.
Well, they're saving all the money for you to pay you. That's why they take you to the Ground Round. They want to have more money to give you in your contract.
Yeah, that's damn sure how I felt when I got drafted up here, though, when they put me up at the end zone. I'm like, damn, I done got drafted right back to Aliquippa.
Well, there weren't many options other than the end zone motel that were in the area. I mean, things have changed a little bit. They have
Yeah, but, hey Greg, at the time, I would have stayed 20 minutes away. But it was on, man, and they ended up living there for 6 months. Thanks to some people out there that didn't want to get out of the house. Scott Zolak.
And the end zone was a dump.
All right. Well,
oh, man, they had some good ass wings though.
So listen, big win for these guys. A domineering win for these guys over the Bears on Sunday.
I mean, it was a great win, and a 9 sacks. You know, when you talk about domineering and all that, I mean, it was, let's call it what it was. It was two bad teams, and who was going to play the best football of the two bad teams right now? I mean, we got a lot to, like I said, look forward to, but right now, people paying for their job, Wiggy. See, they're going to be back at training camp next year, man. let's keep it a buck.
So keep it real, as Wiggy would say. No cap. This is not something to get overly excited about.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, I think anytime you win, because everyone's out there working hard, don't get me wrong. I mean, they're professionals. You got pride. You practice hard. You want to win. But 9 sacks, great. I mean, Gerard Mayo, he threw everything but the kitchen sink at him. I mean, 9 sacks is amazing. But let's just look at who you're playing. You know what I mean? Do that against a formidable team, and you can get more excited about it. But it was just the best thing about that day when people traveled to the game, it was beautiful weather in Chicago.
Ty, that's one of the things that we were all talking about in here. Courtney had, you know, I think your opinion is that this team could make the playoffs. They could go 6-1. I thought that they're not going to really get true respect until they beat the Cardinals in Arizona or in Buffalo week 15 or 16.
Now that's saying something. You know what you're working with. I mean, what guys are going to be around for the future, but you have to win a game of substance, somebody with a better record, a better team, not a rookie quarterback, even though we have a rookie quarterback. You know, you got to put a stamp on it somewhere, and Chicago just said it, so I'm not getting that excited about it. I'm happy for the win, but I'm not that excited when you look at the team and look at the game and the future. I mean, that's not telling me anything, this game right here. It's really not.
So, Ty, you don't want to buy into, like, Keon White after the game was asked what was clicking for the defense, and he said, we're a bunch of young guys, we've faced injuries, and we finally figured out how to play with each other, so that's what you're witnessing now? Like, you can't, that's an optimistic way to look at this team.
They got it together now, huh? For Chicago. We injuries, everybody's back, now we're clicking. Man, do it next week. You can't say that off of one game like that with 9 sacks. I mean, but I get it. You're supposed to, you know, to rile the team up and what you say, but come on, man. I mean, yeah, I don't think you just figured it out just now versus Chicago. Like I said, do that against Buffalo or Ravens or Kansas City. Do that against somebody like that, then you can, you know, talk like that.
The easy games are ahead of them. I mean, Wiggy brings up two difficult ones, but the next three are winnable. So if they beat the Rams this weekend, would that make you feel a bit differently that maybe they figured it out?
Who did the Rams just lose to?
The Miami. Dolphins, yeah, last Miami. Night. Well, it's a short week for them. They've got to fly across the country. Yeah.
thank you. I mean, is the Rams, is anybody talking about them doing anything special? I mean, they get beat by the Dolphins, who is not a very good team, you know, either. And like I said, I'm not trying to rain on no parade. I'm just saying, let's be realistic. Now, if they got three games, winnable games, hopefully they win them. I want them to win because no matter what, I always go with the Patriots, even though it's a dumb bet, but you got to go with your team. You know, nothing major. I ain't bet no real money out there. I ain't going to do that. But you a friendly bet with your friends or somebody that played for that team, no quick little $100 or something, man. I still want them to go 500. I got more money than going 500, tell you that, which I don't know if that's going to happen.
Ty, I think the biggest thing for us here is our focus is, or at least for me, is the offseason. And do you think Robert Kraft really opens up his checkbook this offseason to allow them to go after free agents, to potentially go after a guy that they trade for and then sign to a long-term deal? Do you think Robert is kind of under pressure to do that this offseason now that, you know, the team has struggled and Bill will have been gone for a year?
I think it is going to put some pressure on Mr. Kraft to, you know, open it up a little bit. But now it's going to be more attractive too, because you have a quarterback. You know, it's like you don't have some stability at quarterback, so you might be able to get one of these free agents in here, but it's still going to cost you. You know, before you had the luxury of, hey, we're winning, and a free agent to come in and take less money to be a part of the Patriots culture and a part of the team with a chance to win a championship. Right now, you got to get guys that you got to pay them. You know, I mean, those guys are not around. People are about getting paid, so he's going to have to pay guys to come in right now until he gets the culture. You're going to have to pay top dollar, and that's just what it is. I mean, think about it as a free agent. We love New England. We've been here, but most people that haven't been here, our country, all they think of is cold. It's cold in New England. Tom Brady, they got the championships, but who's coming up here is there's not a vacation place in the wintertime. So people think about that in free agency. You know that, Wiggy. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, if I go here tax-free, oh, this one got less taxes, I'm gonna save some money. Hey, I'm going to go up there and lose. No, you come to New England right now with the team that's assembled, you got to pay. You got to pay to play. That's just what it is.
Yeah, that's what Greg says to Ken. I would say, Ty, I watched the Chiefs. They're undefeated. That was a crazy way to pull out that win with the blocked field goal. How many Super Bowls, in your mind, does Mahomes need before he can legitimately argue that he's the greatest?
I think he's going to need, for him to be in the conversation with Tom, he's gonna have to. Five is when the conversation is starting, because, you know, no one else has that. You know, everything else was the four. We talk about the Joe Montanas. He's four, right? Who was the Steelers? They got four.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bradshaw.
Bradshaw, four. I know he's not in that conversation, but he's still got four Super Bowls. But you got to get there. You got to jump Joe Montana first. You know what I mean? To be in that conversation. Tom's in a whole nother stratosphere. Now, if you get, you know, seven or more, okay, now you earn that. But you got to play long enough to do so. You know what I mean? And it might be one of those type of things. He's doing so much in the short part of his career that people are going to, you know, say he did more in less time, you know, as far as getting that. But if you don't get seven of them and you can't put in a string as long as Tom Brady has, I don't see it happening. But five, I think, is the magic number to where you can at least start having a conversation.
Shime has Joe Montana 75th on his top 100 all-time quarterback.
Yeah. Damn right.
Right behind Elvis Gerback.
The worst.
What?
He doesn't even have...
What's the explanation for that, Shime?
I just think he's overrated. He was on a really, really talented team. It's just like Bradshaw. Nobody talks about Bradshaw in the top five quarterbacks of all time. He won four titles. I think it's very similar with Joe Montana.
No, come on. That's Joe. I mean... The greatest of all time wanted to be Joe Montana. Come on, man. I mean, he ain't.
That's just because he grew up in San Francisco.
That should tell you something right there. Come on, man. That's Joe Montana, bro. I mean, like I said, he got to get past that first. But Tom Brady, this is talking about seven and the way he did it and then to leave. And then it's always going to be, to me,
mm-hmm.
what happened when young Patrick Mahomes was playing old Tom Brady? Head up. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, when it matter.
Head to head. So Tom Brady wins.
And guess what? And you can't come back from that. When you played head up, Tom, you're supposed to be the new young gun, but Tom was still there and he beat your head up. So I mean, Tom is always gonna have an argument, but I get it. Patrick Mahomes is absolutely incredible. And if anybody can be in the conversation with Tom Brady, it's him. But he has to win. He got to win a couple more.
Well, if he wins
in my opinion.
If he wins this year, that'll be a three-peat. That'll be four for him.
Right.
Four okay. for him in that, his career.
Right.
Right. And he's right. only 27 or 28 years old. So if he realistically plays another 10 years, he's probably going to catch Brady passing yards and all the statistics. The question is,
do they seem the lock this year that they have been in other years? No.
He'll be 30 next year.
Oh, 30 next year?
And this is unbelievable. But what made Brady stand alone is so many great quarterbacks have had, or five or six, have had that one 10-year run. What Brady did that has never been done is have a second 10-year run 10 years later that was more impressive than the first.
Right. But does Mahomes not need a 10-year gap? See, that might be the difference, right? Remember, Brady went 10 years without not winning every a Super Bowl, where Mahomes, let's say they win this year, he might not need that 10-year gap because he might, for the next 5, 6, 7 years, be in it, right? He's 30 years old. Let's say he plays till in the – he said that he wants to play till he's 40. Let's say he plays till 38. For the next 8 years, he might not have that gap of missing the Super Bowl.
His last 2 years, 2023 and 2024, his passer rating has been under 93. He's gone down precipitously from 2022, and he's only 29. Obviously, the team's great. The national conversation on Mahomes, if he were on the Patriots, would be what's wrong with him.
Yeah,
they would be like, he's struggling.
12 touchdowns, 9 picks? What the hell?
He's having a bad year.
Right.
Go ahead, wait.
No, I was just going to say, it really comes down to winning Super Bowls, you know, because that's the most important thing. And if he wins another Super Bowl,
people won't care
how many touchdowns he'd thrown, especially if he has, like, a great playoffs.
I mean, you're right about that, but look how many Tom went to as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about, you know, he was in there every year, every other year. You got to take that into consideration, even though, you know, the ones that he lost, he was still there. So I still think, you know, Patrick Mahomes has a ways to go. If he gets this fourth one, okay, now you reach to where other people have reached already. Like I said, you got Bradshaw, you have Montana. It's been done before. It's not something we haven't seen, and with Tom Brady, of course. Now, can you get to 5? I think 5 is the number to where you say, okay, now he can start being in the conversation like that. And then can he play long enough? It's kind of like the LeBron and the Michael Jordan comparison. You know, LeBron is playing long enough to where he can make that damn argument of being the GOAT for everything that he's done and all the numbers it has. But when you look at the impact of what Michael Jordan and the time he was there, everybody wanted to be like Mike. You know what I mean? Look at his accolades and things like that. But he didn't play 20-some years. So there's a debate there. Mm-hmm. There is no debate right now when it comes to greatest quarterback or football player all time. In my opinion, you have to do more. And right now, Tom stands by himself, period.
Time for the most entertaining play of the game, which is brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Experience the thrills at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Any suggestions?
The most entertaining play?
The coin flip.
Hey, I agree with you, Curtis.
Hey, the touchdown pass wasn't bad.
Well, it was the 2-yard pass.
I would say the
touchdown pass.
Can we have
one that was called back? I mean, the
that one on the sideline,
the sideline throw,
laser beam.
Favorite sack? There were 9.
Yeah, Williams. Yeah, yes, maybe that's
that first throw of the game. Drake made a hooper.
I like when the NFL receiver doesn't realize that he has to stay in bounds at all times.
Yeah, that's stay in bounds.
Schooler one.
I think Mother Nature had the best, most entertaining play. It was nice weather in November in Chicago. My vote goes to Mother Nature.
I thought you were going to be more excited about this Patriots team this morning. A little cold water from Taiwan this morning, but maybe we need that.
He's keeping it a buck.
Yeah, he's keeping it real.
Yes. Man, you know, look, Gerard is my man. I'm gonna be real, give him a hard time. Look, when I was playing, I didn't play well. They gave me a hard time. No excuses. But I'm giving them the kudos. But I'm just like, I would like to see that versus a better team. And hey, I mean, it comes with the territory. We on this side now, Wiggy. You know how it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been there. You play bad, you get talked about.
Yep, it's nature of the beast.
Plain and simple.
All right, Ty Law. Thank you for taking the time.
Guys.
All right, we will talk to you soon. You know who else keeps it real? Chris Curtis.
That was my favorite. Do we have that? I'm saving that for us. This was the whitest comment ever, which is saying something.
He's keeping it real.
He's keeping it real.
He was keeping it real.
Ty, what do you think about
the dogs? They're eating the cats. They're keeping it real. Can you please play that? No, just to keep it real. I want to hear the keep it real again. He's keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, he's keeping it real.
But great.
No cap.
We saved that too.
Keeping it real at a Beyonce dance party. Yeah. No cap.
Yeah, you could throw a no cap in there. But if he wins 3 in a row and a total of 4, don't you think there'll be some national people that will start to say the conversation.
Well, I think you have to give it to him. Yes. I mean, 100%.
But that's already started.
Yeah,
Wings.
People already try to put that comparison between the two. It's already.
No cap. I mean.
No, I'm talking about the GOAT.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Right. I think Patrick Mahomes has to win 6 Super Bowls. Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls.
All right, so
he did it with 2 different teams.
7.
No cap.
Let's not lose him one. He won 6 here.
But what 6 here, 1 with the Buccaneers. Right. Like that, is Mahomes going to go do it with a different team?
No, but what I'm saying, if Mahomes wins this year, that's a three-peat. No quarterback has done that. He'll have 4. You don't think national people will be like, oh, Mahomes right now is kind of – solidified himself as the GOAT?
Where Mahomes is, Wiggs, is his competition, his equals, no longer play. There's nobody that is a contemporary of Patrick Mahomes that is in the same paragraph, on the same page, in the same book.
Right.
So he's going after Tom, which is why they have Tom in the booth on Fox, because you're right, if they win this year, he'll be ahead of Tom Brady's path in terms of his career arc at 29, and he'll have done something Brady never did, which is win 3 straight. Yeah. So that'll be the game in New Orleans. Patrick Mahomes, he will be competing against an NFC team, but the guy he's chasing will be in the booth.
Yeah, he's keeping it real. All right. That's Ty Law. Let's get to Courtney into what is trending.
Too much energy.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Monday Night Football saw the Dolphins take down the Rams in L.A. Final score 23-15. Tua completed 20 of 28 passes for 207 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. The Celtics have the Hawks in town tonight, and Jason Tatum's ankle injury, it may be worse than we expected. He's listed as questionable for this evening. Al Horford and Jaden Springer are also questionable for this one. And the Bruins are on the road to take on the Blues in St. Louis. Puck drop is at 8. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is 49 degrees in Boston. Afternoon high, 55.
No cap.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe. It's Tier Tuesday. Kiefer Madness coming your way at 12:45. It's also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by D'Angelo's Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop. The sandwich shop at Jones and Keefe every Tuesday. Keefe's already done his number 9
Smoked
over there.
Smoked it. Delicious.
I'm halfway through this Thanksgiving sub.
Yeah, you're going to fall asleep?
Tremendous.
Is it really that good?
It's real nice. I don't know when the tryptophan's going to hit,
but it's
very, very tasty. So big thanks to them. FlexCar. You can save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com. And Tommy Curran, also brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180. A once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way home from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss, awaken180weightloss.com. Tommy Curran, what's up?
Good afternoon.
Oh, it's a wonderful afternoon.
Oh, it's the best.
The Patriots having their victory Monday yesterday, Tommy Tuesday today. We played a clip from you on NBC Sports Boston on Sunday discussing the juxtaposition between Caleb Williams and Drake May. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that at all, but it was striking on Sunday.
It was, and I'm not sure exactly what the clip was, but my biggest impression is that Caleb Williams is being so poorly managed that they're going to be below scratch by the time they start to get him organized. When you look at the Patriots, for all their faults and missteps at numerous levels, personnel, head coaching, coordinators, et cetera, Robert Kraft said to me, and I think he said it publicly as well, the only thing that matters is coaching quarterback. And when you look at the quarterback development that they've done, whether it's from Alex Van Pelt and the on-field stuff with the slow playing of putting him out there, or the way that May himself has ascended to the leadership role that he did in a very diplomatic way where he wasn't overstepping, you can contrast that with Caleb Williams. The footwork of Williams, the timing of Williams are abhorrent. He is holding the ball too long. His footwork and his just spray misses are unbelievable. He's got 19% of his throws, period, are wild. I have the stat. It's on my computer. I'm doing it right now for quick slants, but it's just jaw-dropping how inaccurate he is. And the lack of development that he has experienced since getting to the league is going to put him probably back worse than he was when he got there in April. So It's a real contrast in the way the two players were developed.
You know, we've talked a lot about the report that Drake May kind of pulled the offense aside and spoke to him because they were having a bad practice and, you know, showing some leadership there. Are we making too big a deal out of that? Because Jones and I think that is, like, fantastic and, like, what a step forward. Or is that just something that, hey, you know, every once in a while quarterbacks kind of just have to do that?
No, I think it's a huge deal because was he going to do that in April, May, June, July, or August? No, he was not wandering in here saying, I have it all figured out, the way Caleb Williams, for instance, was texting the punter that they drafted in the fourth round saying, we're not going to need you much this year. May did not come in and act as if he had it figured out. We watched him during rookie minicamp, and he was glacial in his detail-oriented approach to learning what they wanted him to do. So it's been a very gradual, I think, assumption of the leadership mantle. He never big-footed Jacoby Brissett. But when it finally came time for people to get on the quality control, and everybody had probably said something, for the fast-talking, somewhat awkward, but kind of lovable Drake May standing up in front of a bunch of adults at the age of 22 and saying, we need better. Is kind of impressive, I think. And it shows that the Patriots got the right guy. One thing that Mayo said during the owners' meetings is he's all football. He's all football all the time. And notice that. Have we seen any social media stuff? Have we seen any Instagram? Have we seen any branding? Have we seen any No Bull or whatever else we see players embrace? He's all football.
Yeah, I think I've seen one auto dealership commercial that he does, but it's minimal. He had the moment that I know you didn't like, I didn't love either, with Aaron Rodgers after the Jets game, but no, that's been very minimal. And just to juxtapose it with, you mentioned Noble, to juxtapose it with Mac Jones, like, I don't know, would Mac call stuff like that? Would he address the whole team? Would he run it by the offensive coordinator? Or would he just go behind the offensive coordinator and head coach's back? Like, it feels very different, not to pile on Mac, but I'll go ahead and pile on Mac. It feels very different than him.
I think that he probably would, and I think that he would have the respect somewhat of his teammates. But in that dynamic, Bill was already actively peeing on his forehead on a regular basis. So it's very difficult for you to, if you're not empowered by the people above you, to show that you have the ability to lead. So
that's tough with pee on your forehead. I agree.
Difficult.
That's not easy.
It is. It's tough to stand there and, and be a compelling figure, I would imagine.
No. Play it out. You're good.
It's Brady again. We can make a comparison without making, you know, a 1-to-1. He is the guy. But Brady in 2000, was the leader as the sixth round pick of a fleet of draft picks. And he assumed the leadership role. And I remember listening to guys say that when he got in the huddle, even during practices, when he wasn't the starter, they'd be like, oh God, look at this. He's so over the top in terms of, let's get in after this. And it's like 2 hours into the practice. And they're like, well, okay. But he's genuine. Brady was. And I think that Drake May is extremely genuine, almost in a way that there's nothing calculated the way I can see. I think Brady could be a little calculating, but I don't think that Drake May is a calculated guy. The only thing that he wants to get is better.
What do you make of both Kendrick Bourne being inactive last week with the idea of playing younger guys, but then also KJ Osborne getting the second most wide receiver snaps?
I think it's two different things are at play here. One, they want to get younger guys the ball more often, and I think we saw that with Kayshon Booty and DeMario Douglas. But the guys who are not on their details, and I think that we've seen over the course of time, as lovable as Kendrick Bourne is, he's not a detail-oriented fella. I think it's the general perception within the organization. He's well-meaning, happy, and productive as he can sometimes be. He just is prone to mistakes. So on one hand, you don't see Javon Baker. Tyquan Thornton is completely in mothballs now. But they're moving. You have to have somebody out there in terms of, you have to have three wideouts. So they have the two tight ends. So DeMario Douglas, Kayshon Booty, and KJ Osborne are your three that you're going to put up, and you're going to more or less pound the ball to the two tight ends, Hooper and Henry, and then to DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Booty, because they're your best players. And, oh, excuse me, Talen Polk. I left him out of that conversation too. But I really think Kayshon Booty's their best wide receiver, and he'll probably still be the best wide receiver even when Jalen Polk improves. I just think he's a better player.
No, we were talking about this yesterday. I think that's a shift for Keith and myself as well. We both take him, you know, as the number one guy over Pop Douglas at this point. It's time now for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game. It's presented by FlexCard. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCard. What is your Flex of the Game from Pat's Bears, Tom?
Flex of the Game was the Patriots after the heinous turnover in the second half on the interception. Coming back and bowing up. I'm not sure. Was that the second half? Did I misspeak there? I should have been more prepared in my Flex of the Game.
The pick was the first half.
Okay. First half. Let's also then go with the bow up after that, where they did not allow points, and also the bow up in the second half after they had a kind of a sketchy first drive, and there was an opportunity for maybe the Bears to gain a little bit of momentum coming into the second half, and the Patriots forced yet another three and out. So Flex of the Game from DeMarcus Covington for understanding he had a sitting duck back there who was ready for the taking and an offensive line that was pockmarked and attacking it. We spent a lot of time on the defense, but DeMarcus Covington, who's been lit up several times, he saw a ball on a tee in front of him, and he hammered it with the Chicago Bears offense.
What do you think of the outlook for the rest of the season for the Pats? 3-7, obviously not a very good record, but there's a lot of bad teams in the AFC, a lot of bad teams in the NFL. We saw the Rams last night not look great. Miami also, even in a win, didn't look great. And then you have the Colts as your next three opponents, who none of them are really playing great football. So how do you see the Patriots kind of the next month or so?
It's interesting because if you look at each team, they're probably all more talented than the Patriots, one by one by one. All of them have better players than the Patriots. But I think Sunday is generally oftentimes just a snapshot of where your team is that week relative to injuries, overall mood, game plan. And the Jets and the Bears were able to be beaten by the Patriots because they had basically quit on their seasons. They had quit on their situations. And the Patriots were able to make hay. They weren't able to do that with Tennessee because they're not that good, the Patriots. So it depends on who they get when they see the Rams. It depends on who they get when they see the Dolphins and the Colts. All those teams are going to look at the Patriots and go, we should beat these freaking guys. Every single team. So I don't think that they're going to go on a run. I still think that if they get to 5 wins, that's expected. 4 wouldn't stun me, and 6 would kind of open my eyes. Don't you guys think? If they get to 6
yeah.
wins, I'd say, wow.
Yeah, no, I'm taking the under on that. I just think it's how I feel now compared to 3 weeks ago has completely changed, and I feel like I have a lot of interest in these games as far as, like, I don't know how the outcome's going to go. Like, I think they're probably going to lose Sunday to the Rams, but I think it's more of a toss-up than it was a month ago. Same with the Miami and Indy game.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm definitely intrigued that they're in this spot, but – yeah, I mean, they still end the year with 4 or 5 wins.
Well, so
that wouldn't shock me.
Let me ask it a different way, Tom. We were saying, hey, they're 2 games out of a playoff spot. They're only 2 games back at Denver. There's a lot of teams in that mix. Is that a foolish discussion? It sounds like you think that's probably a foolish discussion to look at the Patriots as a playoff team.
It's not, but it's foolish, I think, to look at them and say, well, that's a playoff-level team. Because there are, Jonesy, 3 plays away from 6-4. They are literally 3 plays from 6-4. Say they got the 2-point conversion against the Titans, Jalen Polk got his foot down, and they didn't butcher it against the Seahawks. This could be a 6-4 football team. And they're not a playoff caliber roster. And had those breaks gone their way, would we look at them and say, well, these guys are going to be a tough out? Well, maybe. But I just don't think that – I think that would be a premature playoff appearance relative to the skill level of the team. Like, for instance, the Patriots in 1994 went to the playoffs in Drew Bledsoe's second year. And the next year they went 5-11 in 1995, and they were horrendous. And then they went to the Super Bowl the next year. I think the Patriots, it's going to totally track the exact same way the early 90s Patriots did. I believe, if they get it right.
A Super Bowl appearance.
Mm.
I'll take that. I'll take that, Tom.
Right.
Who's the Brett Favre running around with his helmet off when they lose? I couldn't sleep for weeks after that.
Yeah, that was a tough image. Yeah. Tom,
that's going to be Caleb Williams.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if you saw Bill Belichick on Pat McAfee yesterday. Maybe the most surprising part of it was that A.J. Hawk asked the question, but Hawk asked him about specifically the Patriots and Drake May, and as you can imagine, Belichick took it to, yeah, he looks good, like, outside the pocket, and Ramondre Stevenson's a great back, but really it's all about Chicago. I don't know what your take is on Bill, once again, kind of sidestepping any kind of positive statements about the Patriots.
He's got some bad takes. I mean, you should at some point... You should at some point acknowledge the fact that Drake May is better than you thought he would be when you looked at him in April at the draft. You have compelling information, Bill. People want to hear it. We respect your opinion, but be able to say, well, that's a lot better player than he is now. Don't make it sound like he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off and not being decisive as to when to run. He's not wandering around back there. That's one of the best things about his game. But I think sometimes Bill is so reluctant to lob praise or admit that, hey, I got that wrong, that he's going to stick with it. You notice he also managed to meander over to a Jacksonville sideswipe. The double in that answer, the double benefit of that being, hey, Shot, I'm still here and your team still sucks. And you shouldn't have had Mac out there. He's horrendous. The guy was 6-18 in his last 24 games here.
Yikes.
One of the worst offenses on record, and they're still digging out on Patriots record, not National Football.
Yeah.
But it's funny when you really hold his takes up to the light, how just laden with agenda they are.
Well, it's a good thing they had Ramondre Stevenson draw on the defense last year when they won their four games, because obviously that was a big thing that helped them out.
Who was Bill's best back last year?
Yeah.
Who was Bill's best back last year?
That would be
Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, so you're arguing Zeke over Ramondre. Okay, I see where you're going.
Oh, my God, he was much better than Ramondre Stevenson because they couldn't block. Anyway,
knock on Bill. Yep. Some bad takes from Bill Belichick. I'm certainly familiar with one. Tommy Curran, always with good takes. You can watch him on Quick Slants tonight. You can read his latest at NBC Sports Boston. Drake May has risen to the occasion for the Patriots on and off the field. Check that out there. He joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can also catch him Thursday at 3:30 on WEEI Afternoons. Tommy Curran, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Good fun.
A Victory Monday here, a Patriots Monday. It's Christian Arcand, it's Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. We are live here at Gillette Stadium. If you missed anything, you can check it out on the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. That includes our interview with Jonathan Jones and our interview with Drake May, who Coach Mayo was just talking about there in the postgame show. We will be replaying our Drake May interview at 5 o'clock, by the way, so don't miss it two times. Or if you want to listen to it two times, you can. It was good. I mean, it was incredible. I don't think really good covers it. It was the best interview there's ever been and there ever will be, I'd say. Until next week when we interview him again.
Yeah, because that'll be even better when he's in studio.
This would
have been even better if he was in studio.
It would have been. For you, certainly, so you could play footsie with him again.
I brought my legs out for him today.
Like, I shaved and everything.
I got my short shorts on so he can see whatever he needs to see.
Hey, so can the people on Twitch, which, by the way, there are comments in there. Yeah, it's taking a dark turn in the Twitch chat.
Well, I thought it was the game of a lot of sacks, so I thought I'd have... What?
Hey, nice. What'd you think of Drake May's game on the field? I mean, I didn't think it was his best game.
Oh, is this where you want to get to the negative?
I want to talk about on and off the field, how he looked. I think off the field, we covered it. He had a great, great week on the field. I thought it wasn't his best game. I don't think that's a controversial thing to say.
I don't think it was his best game, and I know that because actually Chris Scheim joined us on the Six Rings postgame show, and he does the weekly Drake May grade, and it was his lowest grade yet. He gave him an 83.
Okay.
So like a B-minus right on the cusp.
It's like a high
B-minus.
Yeah.
All right. And I think there's probably some truth to that. I continue to say, though, what did he say was his best throw, he thought? You forget.
He didn't. He just said it was good catches by everybody.
But he rolled out, and he said, I thought I had a pretty good one close there to Booty or whatever.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
And he blamed himself. Booty, go get the ball. Booty, all I would be coaching Booty on if I was the wide receivers coach right now would be more aggressive to the football.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're doing everything really well except going to get the football. Whether it was the interception in overtime or whether it was a throw where you have a chance to make a play, high point drills, go get the damn football. And I still think that's a problem for Drake May, is guys not always maximizing playmaking opportunities that he provides them. And I've bitched about this since August. You know this. I defended him on practice field, where I thought the narrative was, Drake May's been kind of meh. And I would articulate 2, 3, 4, 5 passes that if Polk made it and Booty made it and Osborne made it, you'd be talking about his day completely differently. Sure. But they didn't make it, so they don't count. I thought yesterday there were times, and that's why I asked him that question about running versus running to throw. I thought there were times he looked a little uncomfortable or unsure, and it's funny because he said, I want to be decisive.
Right.
I didn't think he was always decisive yesterday in terms of what he wanted to do.
Agreed. And that's not just with throws. I thought that at the end of one of his runs, Perillo was in here, we were talking about that. He takes off running, and you see Tremaine Edmonds, who was a big hitter, coming right up to him, who was in coverage, I guess. He's a middle linebacker, so I guess he was back in coverage. And he comes right towards him, and May looks like he's about to slide, and then instead of sliding, he like dives forward, and it's just like, what are you doing? Like, come on. Like,
I'm telling you,
you got to do one thing or the other. You can't start the slide and then dive forward. Like, that's how you get hurt. Not that I'm supposed to tell anybody how to play football, but my God, like, I think everybody in the world, New England fan watching that, held their breath until the end of that play, because that was, out of all of his runs, that was the one I liked the least. I mean, that maybe all season.
And I think that's a transition, because we know he slid earlier. It led to the concussion. He hasn't slid a whole hell of a lot since the concussion.
Right.
Or since he was in the protocol. I won't say necessary concussion. Since he was in the protocol.
I think he went to slide and then he remembered. He's like, no, Andy Hart says I should dive forward.
You're damn right. I think others have also told him sliding isn't always the best thing.
Right.
And Edmonds is a big, fast, like, he can hurt you kind of guy.
Definitely.
That's not some soft, like, nickel corner or something that you don't think is actually going to hit you. So I think there was part of that. I just think would be more aggressive there. But I thought even times with his running, he looked a little unsure of exactly how he wanted to handle it, what he wanted to do, because the pressure wasn't terrible. There was just the one sack, right? The Onwenu let up early.
I thought the offensive line was their best game by far. I thought by far it was their best game.
It was good. It was better. And I think Mayo talked about this morning. The comparisons to the Bengals game where they were able to run it, they were able to do enough during the passing game. I didn't think they dominated. I thought Ramondre Stevenson had to work pretty hard in the run game.
In the run game, it was only 3.5-something yards per carry, but still, that's a big improvement.
And no, and they ran
it. The pass
it,
protection was very good.
And they were able to, because of the score and everything else, the defense, they were able to run it, I think, 35 times. Like, the running game was a big part of the offense, and it was spread throughout all the guys. They had four different guys with
35 rushes, 144 yards.
Yeah, that right there, to me, is an impressive number. 35 for 144, and sneaky late. When Gibson came in and they drove to that last field goal, it was all Gibson.
Yeah.
Like, they, and who, he's been kind of the forgotten guy, and suddenly he was the core of the offense when the other team knows you're going to try to run the game out, run the ball out. So I thought the line was good. It got off to a bad start, though, because I forgot the order of operations, but you had Ben Brown snap it into his own ass, and there's a fumble. The ball's on the ground. I thought Drake May did a nice job to recover it. Then almost compounded the mistake by trying to throw a pick over the middle.
Right.
Don't do that, Drake. Let's put that away.
He almost had a pick in the end zone, too. They didn't count.
How many picks did Jared Goff have last night?
He had 5.
Yeah. How many did Drake May have?
He had the one.
So even the great quarterbacks, everybody's anointing Jared Goff like the second coming of a Super Bowl savior in Detroit. Everybody makes bad throws and bad plays and throws interceptions. So
sure.
Get off my boy.
Okay.
I don't want to have to tell you again.
Relax. 617-779-7937. Jay is in North Carolina. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jay. I sound like a broken record, but I really appreciate your program with your analysis.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But, I know Chicago isn't going for the Super Bowl, but these victories breed respect, and they breed belief in themselves, which is really good. And as Donald Trump said, what have you got to lose? Put Drake Bay in there and let him go. So he didn't say that. But the thing is, let Drake Bay.
All right, thanks for the call, Jay. It's enough.
Oh, he brings up Trump and you cut him off. I see how it is.
He just brought up a quote.
The man is our president.
He never said that.
Respect him.
I don't remember Donald Trump talking about playing Drake May. I don't think that.
Oops.
In fact,
Plied.
If I recall, the what have you got to lose thing was about something else.
Anyway, something that I wanted to point out. So the passing game. The best player in the passing game, I think we've all anointed, is Hunter Henry.
Agreed.
Interestingly, yesterday, I think the Bears also said Hunter Henry's the best player in the passing game. I think they targeted him to take him away.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the only inefficient receiver that Drake May went to.
Yeah.
Four targets, one completion to Hunter Henry. Everybody else was 4 out of 5 to Douglas, 4 out of 6 to Booty, 3 out of 4 to Hooper, 1-1-1-1, Polk, Osborne, Steve, like everybody else.
Yeah.
The only inefficiency was, I think, the Bears smartly said Hunter Henry is the guy he likes to go to. We're gonna make you beat us with these other guys, mm-hmm. prove it. And it wasn't a great day, 184 yards passing, right. but it was good enough in the environment with which the game was played and the circumstances that the game was played. So I thought it wasn't a great day, but I would say it's a more positive than negative day. It wasn't a bad day.
I definitely saw some improvements and step forward. And
absolutely.
All that. Absolutely sure. And I think that he did make some very, very good throws. So if we're talking about his development in general, I think it's still on a good track. But I also think that it wasn't, you know, he's played in better games than this.
And I also...
I don't think he's getting worse, but I do think he's had better games than this.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen. I still think the Bears have a decent defense. I don't think they're a terrible defense. But I also think it's important. So Mayo said something to the effect of, you know, you get out there and you play better and then you can become a leader and you can say things. Well, I also think you have to be careful when you say things to not then go lay an egg.
Mm-hmm.
If he threw 3 or 4 picks in this game and sucked and fumbled, I think that would be like, oh, so you're going to talk the talk on Wednesday and then you're going to go crap your pants in Chicago on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do that.
Nope.
He was a net positive. And I think in the totality of his growth as the quarterback and leader, that's important to continue that positive trend.
Mike is in Boston. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you guys, one of you were talking about like clock mismanagement
mm-hmm.
with the coaches. Did anybody think that was wrong when Campbell had like 40 seconds to go in the Detroit game and it was 3rd and 7 and he had 2 timeouts and he used 1 timeout to get the clock all the way down to 4 seconds? Why not go for the 3rd down, try and get it closer, and you had plenty of time to call a timeout to kick the field goal?
Mike, did you have Detroit -4.5 like I did?
No.
No? Well, then they won the game. What do you care?
No.
Thanks for the call. I don't know. I don't really remember that point in the game, and it doesn't matter because we're not talking about that. But, yeah, I mean, listen, the Lions won the game. It was a close game. Good game.
Hello. You play to win the game.
Appreciate that, sure. I didn't love that win because I did have the -4.5, and they only won by 3. So I thought maybe I was, commiserating with a fellow losing gambler from last night, but now he just had a problem with the Campbell play call.
I was a winning gambler yesterday thanks to Brian Frazoco when he told me how crappy the Bears were, and I took those 6.5 points.
I bet the Pats money line.
Ooh, look at you.
I know. I had a nice little weekend,
wow.
too. But then I tried to really maximize it at the end of the night, and the Lions broke my heart. 617-779-7937. The Patriots defense showing out big time in Chicago last night. Are they back? Were they ever really here to begin with? Is this something you can expect going forward? We'll take a deep dive into the Patriots' day on defense, all the sacks, and everything else right after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.